Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Linda Wells, and I'm Pastor Joel's mom. So I'm the one who keeps him in line. Anyway, Joel and Ange are in Langley, B.C., but they'll be home late tonight. They were with JL with her basketball tournament there and doing a little holidaying with her there. And they'll be home tonight, and Joel will be preaching next Sunday. Believe it or not, he has a wedding to do in Edmonton, and then he's going to drive back real fast so they can get here to be with you next Sunday. But it's my privilege to be able to share with you in this series that we're doing on the book of Proverbs. And I got to listen the other day to Kimberly's message, and even though I wasn't here last week, listened to it online, and it was such a good word. And as Dave mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, that the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to impart skillful and godly wisdoms to its readers. So I hope today we're going to have some of that imparted to us as I share with you. But let's just pray this morning. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word with you this morning. And Father, I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts to receive the word of God today, Lord, and that would not return void. But Father, that you would bless those that hear it, Lord, and we become not only hearers of the word, but doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the word proverb denotes a description by way of comparison. And Proverbs compares the lifestyle of the wicked and the righteous. And it makes a strong case for living God's pattern. And the advantages of righteous living and the disadvantages of wicked living are pointed out. And the kind of person that we decide to be is going to affect every area of our lives. So that being the case, I want to talk to you this morning about choosing a good name. Now, names are important to people. And if you're a parent here this morning, you probably remember how you labored trying to pick out just the right name for each of your children. Some of you may have even bought books with names in them, or you looked up on the internet to find a suitable name. I know that when we were expecting our children, we bought a book of names for naming them. And we were new Christians at the time. And we got Tracy first. And Dave chose a name for her, her name, Tracy, because he just liked it, he said. And I agreed. But I chose Joel's name because I liked it more for what it meant. It meant the Lord is God, and I wanted Joel to have a firm conviction of who God was so that he would serve him. But later I discovered that Joel in the Bible was a prophetic evangelist. I think those that were on the team with him in Uganda would agree that we picked the right name without knowing it, right? However, Tracy's name, in looking it up, meant warlike, a fighter, a hard worker. And for anybody who knows her, she certainly lives up to that name too. Well, many people believe that the name that they give their children is important as it follows them all the days of their life. And they believe that the name will be manifested in their life. Some even have baby naming ceremonies where the baby naming gives them an identity and what they will be known for going forward. You know, lots of pagan religions have naming ceremonies where they whisper the names of false gods in the child's ears, or they invoke a spirit name upon the child. And when I hear that, I think, oh man, that poor child will probably grow up with demonic oppression in his or her life as a result, and they may need deliverance from it, because there has been something powerful in invoking that name. So names are important. People groups, nations can have good or bad names. And it's very important that we don't judge all the people within a people group or a nation with a bad name. For example, not all the individuals think the same as the leaders of a nation, right? They live in. And we as Christians must really guard against being racist. Businesses and stores can have a good or bad name in a city. You know, a few weeks ago, I guess it was more than a few weeks ago, it's almost been a month ago now, Dave and I were coming back from LaRange, and we stopped in Saskatoon, and we went to this gas station. And after I came out, I said, Dave, those were the friendliest attendants in there I've ever seen. He said, I know what you mean. He said, they were so polite and courteous. They're so helpful. And then when we pulled away, the one guy was standing like this waving goodbye at us. I thought, boy, this business gets an A-plus in my mind. I'll be back there again. Except Dave will have to show me where it is because I can't remember the name or how we got there. Well, in churches too, churches can have a good name or a bad name. Do people feel safe? Do they feel loved, encouraged, and challenged there, or the opposite? Well, they should feel safe here because it says in Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe there. So God's name is a place of protection. He's a refuge. He's a place of strength, peace, and safety for us. And so that should be the same with our church for people. Well, what is a good name? According to Proverbs, it's not your parents' choice of what they think is a good name or being named after a respected family member. A good name is your choice. Proverbs 22:1 in the Amplified Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, this verse is not disparaging wealth. It's merely noting that a good reputation is worth more than silver or gold. Only a good name is to be desired, for it brings praise, influence, and prosperity. You can choose a good reputation and the loving approval of others. It's your choice. Both those things, a good name and the loving approval of others, should be a priority for us because both are more important than other measures of success, and wise men and women will pursue both. You know, men and women may choose financial and professional success with all their might. But Solomon exhorted his son to value his reputation and relationships higher than these other goals. In fact, in Proverbs 3:4, he says, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. That's what he was telling his son. To have the respect of others and God is so important. And the scripture says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, why should we choose a good name and favor with God and men? Why should we choose this? Well, first of all, we have to deal with God, right? The reason a good name is better than riches is because in the end, we have to deal with God, and riches don't impress him. He loves the upright man who fears him and who walks humbly before him. And our fate in this life and the next rests in his hands. So we want to have the respect and favor of God, whose loving kindness is better than life. And secondly, why should we choose a good name? To be a good leader that people will follow. You know, young King David, it says in 2 Samuel 3:36 about him, it says, now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. You see, men and women came to David and would follow him and not Saul because of his good reputation. David had won their favor by the way that he lived his life. And Paul in the New Testament in Acts 24:16 says, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. Elders need a good reputation towards outsiders as well as those inside the church. It says in 1 Timothy 3:7, and he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Another reason to choose a good name is thirdly, to gain the respect of others in relationship building. In order to build relationships with people, to witness of Christ, to do evangelism, we need to let our light shine, right? To gain the respect of others. What do people think when they hear your name? Is your name sweet to their ears and thoughts? Do they think kindness, godliness, diligence, faithfulness, compassion, trustworthiness, hardworking and responsible? How do they speak of you to others? Are you spoken about affectionately and respectfully, or critically and negatively? Are you often praised in your absence? Do others desire your company and want to be with you? Or is your name a bitter thought? Do they think meanness, rudeness, selfishness, stubbornness, pride, moodiness, laziness, indiscretion? Do they try to avoid you? When others think about you, do they have to make excuses for your conduct? Do they pass over you for invitations or assignments because you are more irritating than pleasing? If we are wise, we won't ignore these questions, because your reputation and relationships are a great measure of your life. What others think of you is a far more accurate picture of your life than what we think of ourselves. You see, we've got a bias to distort facts in our favor, and we have a deceitful heart that is deeply infatuated with ourselves, right? In Proverbs 16:2, it says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Jeremiah says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" We don't even know our own hearts sometimes, right? I know there are people that think too little of themselves and live in condemnation. And this is the other ditch that we can fall into. But that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is when we say, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way within me," where we want to assess our lives accurately. We want to speak the truth to ourselves. Well, another reason we should choose a good name and favor with God and man, it says, "The glory of the children is their fathers, and the glory of fathers is their children." You see, Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers." Children want to be able to speak their father's and mother's name too, with joy and pride and gratitude. And this proverb puts the call on us to live the kind of lives to make our children proud to be associated with us, to live lives of wisdom and righteousness, that our children are proud to be related to us, proud to wear our names. That's a challenge for us to live a life that is worthy of praise and recognition from our children. But they're looking for role models. And if we have a bad reputation and not a good name in the eyes of others, we humiliate our children. We bring shame to our name, and they're going to feel tainted by our legacy. But a father and mother known for good things will cause their children to wear their name with pride, a glory that would be felt being related to us, and they will praise God for our godly life and legacy. You know, I was proud of my father for being an honest man, and that his brothers and his sisters in the family, when they needed some wisdom, when they needed a word of advice, they would all look to my father. And my mother, she was a hard worker, and cleanliness was next to godliness in her mind. That's what always stands out in my mind when I think of my mom. On the other hand, young people, the scripture says in Proverbs 20, verse 11, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." You see, young people here, you are making a name for yourselves right now. Let it be a good name that you are desiring to build. Because Proverbs 15:20 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." And Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." Don't bring grief to your parents and disgrace to their name, but be their glory. Be like olive plants around their table, filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the fear of God. Just a little aside or an offshoot of this, I just want to say, fathers and mothers, you can only do for you, not your children. They make their own choices in life. You know, God was the perfect parent, right? And his children, Adam and Eve, they didn't do so good either. And neither did their children. Cain and Abel definitely had their difficulties. And we as children, we bring pain daily as children of God. I believe by our choices, every day we can bring pain to our Heavenly Father. So don't be blaming yourself for all their hang-ups. But sons and daughters, I want to speak to you now. Sons and daughters, don't live with a victim mentality and blame your parents for all your problems. Well, I wouldn't be like this, only my parent did that, da, da. No, you are free to choose who you want to become. So choose wisely and choose a good name and loving favor with God and man. Well, what is meant by the concept of name in Scripture? First of all, we talked about it. It refers to one's reputation, as Proverbs 22:1 pointed out. Secondly, it refers to one's character. For example, in the story of Abigail and David, when she comes to David to excuse her husband Nabal's actions with David's messengers, she says in 1 Samuel 25:25, "Don't take notice of this weakness and ignorance in him. After all, his name is Nabal, which means fool. As his name is, so is he." Boy, some of you already are thinking, man, I got to get a name change. And God's changing a person's name foreshadowed a change of character that he planned to work in that person's life to identify the person's spiritual transformation. And it usually came after an incident of great faith or a new calling that God had for them. Like Jacob. Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel after he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Jacob's name meant supplanter, schemer, trickster. But now it was changed to Israel, which meant contender with God, he who struggles or strives with God. And Jacob knew his victory was not the result of his own strength and effort, but came through desperate weakness as he clung to God until blessing was acquired. Abram to Abraham. You see, Abram literally meant exalted father. But Abraham means father of a multitude. And that was a sign that God was going to carry out his promise to Abraham and make him a father of many nations. Simon, son of John, you shall be called Cephas or Peter, which means stone. Pre-Jesus, Simon was unstable. He was a rash, brash fisherman whose mouth and choices got him into trouble. Post-Jesus, he was Peter the bedrock, Peter the preacher of the early church, healer of the sick, author of 2 New Testament books, and fearless unto death. Jesus makes us what we are not and who we are not. Amen? And thirdly, what is meant by the concept of name in Scripture, it refers to one's authority. You see, if we don't have a good name or a good reputation, or don't practice what we preach, we don't have any authority to speak into the lives of others. People won't want to listen to us. They won't want to take our advice. They won't want to consider our suggestions. We may be talking the talk, but to them, we're not walking the walk, and they won't hear us. No authority there. Jesus' name has all power and all authority. We are to come in Jesus' name and in his authority. John 14, 13 and 14 says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that your Father may be glorified in the Son." There's that Jesus bringing glory to his Father that we talked about. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Mark 16 says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We have authority not in our own name, but when we use Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we can do mighty miracles. You know what? Amen. Our team that went to Uganda found that out. How many people are here that were on that team from Uganda? Just raise your hand. There's a few of you here. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were on that team. I know that all of you would say, boy, is being in that demon pit, as they called it, and casting out demons and seeing them flee in Jesus' name was the most exciting part of your trip for some of you, I know. Well, what can damage a good name, a good reputation? First of all, this is what can damage a good name or a good reputation. Your own sin. One's own sin. If you've been found cheating, lying, stealing, committing adultery, sexual offenses, not paying your bills, you are to blame for your reputation being damaged. And sometimes we can pay a very high price for these sins. Job loss, loss of ministry, loss of family, loss of your reputation is a big cost to pay. You know, every day we hear of celebrities, we hear of pastors, we hear of people that own businesses. We hear these things on the news about this has happened, or this sin was uncovered, or this or that. People, this is an important thing that we're talking about today, because the damage that follows it is so, so big. Well, secondly, what can damage a good name and a good reputation is being in with the wrong crowd. 1 Corinthians 15:33 to 34 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good manners and morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You see, be careful who you hang around with. You can pick up their bad name. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. If you find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, get out before you're caught up with something that's going to get you into trouble and ruin your reputation. The Bible says to abstain from even the appearance of evil. You can have your reputation ruined by it. Social media can also damage your reputation. Social media follows you forever. If you're not careful, what you say can and probably will be used against you at some point. So watch what you post. Don't post when you're angry and upset, emotional, or in a reactive mode, or when you don't have all the facts. Put a watch over your mouths, and we should say, Lord, put a watch over our mouths and our posts. And fourthly, slander can ruin a good reputation. You see, slander, which is the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damn another's reputation, and damage, sorry, another's reputation, is painful to go through. I have a personal story to tell you about this, and I don't know if I've told this before here or not. I don't remember where I tell stories anymore. But we always like a good story or a testimony and a message, right? In our time of pastoring in a smaller town years ago, Dave and I were really pressing into God and seeing God work in our lives and through our lives. And Dave was reading in his Bible in Philippians 3, 8 to 11, and it reads like this. I'm just breaking into this little portion of scripture in Philippians he was reading. It says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So Dave was praying, God, I just want to know you better, and I want to experience the power of your resurrection. And the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to Dave and said, well, what about the fellowship of my sufferings? The power of my resurrection and the fellowship of my sufferings are a package deal. Are you willing to suffer for me? Dave couldn't bring himself to say yes to this. So he wrestled with God for quite a while internally, but he couldn't give him an answer. God kept coming to Dave for days after, but Dave wasn't able to give him permission. This went on until we went to a family camp at Arlington Beach. And that particular evening, all the pastors and their wives were called upon the stage to be ministered to prophetically. And at this point, God pressed Dave again. Dave, are you willing to let me suffer? To let you suffer? And Dave went, yes. And so he agreed this time. Dave Blomgren, a very prophetic teacher, started praying over each couple. And when he came to Dave and I, we were so nervous. We thought, oh no, what's he going to say to us? But he prophesied some nice things, and then he went on along to all the other couples that were on the stage, when all of a sudden he turned around, came back over here to Dave and I, took the two of our hands, clasped them together, and this is, I'm just putting some of what he said to us. He said that someone was going to rise up in our midst and speak false things about us. And it was going to wound and hurt and cause us to suffer. There would be a danger of others falling away. We would be tempted to fight back and defend ourselves. But the Lord said not to go on the enemy's ground, but to stand still and see him fight the battle for us. And our first thought was, oh no, here comes the suffering. But immediately, I started looking over the crowd. Who is it that's going to rise up and speak evil things against us? Is it her, him, you know? And then I thought, I said, Dave, God wouldn't want me to be suspicious of people. This can't be God. And then I said to Dave, I said, if this is really going to happen, well, how can it hurt and wound us? Because we already know it's going to happen. And so if we're prepared for it, how are we going to suffer? So I'm just having a little bit of struggle here. Well, not many months after, a young 16-year-old girl in our church had gotten herself involved with a guy in his 20s. And her brother, by reading her diary, had discovered she was climbing out of her bedroom window at night and going to be with this older guy. She had told lies about her parents to his family, and it was a mess. The police wouldn't touch it because she was 16. So the parents, who were really good parents, asked us to help. She told lies about us. She told lies about her parents. She told lies about the church to another minister in town. And he wrote us up in the newspaper, calling us a cult and slandering us. We were devastated. One day I went to the post office to pick up our mail, and one of our church ladies that worked there, she said, I had somebody come in here just a while ago, and they said that they heard that Dave had taken this girl and tied her to the bedpost and had beaten her. How ridiculous! I started to laugh. And she said, Linda, how can you laugh at such a thing? I said, well, it's either that or continue crying. You see, it has always been important to me to be thought well of. I'm just kind of like Paul when he said, I do my best to maintain a good conscience before God and man. I try to keep the speed limits. Well, except when I'm telling Dave to hurry up and rush that red light. I'm honest. I pay my bills. I try to go to the second mile for people. So this really hurt me. And it was like God said it would be. We were suffering. What people said about my husband affected me when I knew it wasn't true. I felt I wanted to put a paper bag on my head when I went to the grocery store because I felt like everybody was looking at me and thinking, oh, there's these terrible people that have this cult and that beat these people. Well, we had a close friend from a nearby town a few hours away. He had read the newspaper, and he drove up to see us, and he said, Dave and Linda, this isn't true. He said, you need to write your side of the story. He said, you need to tell it like it is. Well, we just got out the tape recorder. I mean, this is a long time ago. We got out the tape recorder, and we put in the tape, and we played the tape of that prophetic word about not going on the enemy's ground and letting God fight our battles. He totally understood when he heard the recording of the word. So we prayed together, and we asked God to defend our reputation. You know, there were more good things that came out of this with Dave and the ministerial, but I've no time to tell them now. But to make a long story short, most people in that community either never read it or never believed it. Because Dave was at a ministerial breakfast months later, and a pastor brought it up to him. He said to Dave, I never believed it. And when Dave asked him why not, he said, because you're still here and that pastor left town. And that pastor, yes, amen. That pastor went on to another small city in another province and caused problems there. You see, we experience the fellowship of suffering, but also his power to change what the enemy meant for evil in slandering us for our good. And people always know there are two sides to every story. But know also that God is your defender, and he will fight your battles when you put your trust in him. Amen? In closing, I want to say that maintaining an excellent reputation, it doesn't mean that you'll never make mistakes. It's how you respond to them that demonstrates the depth and the strength of your character. You see, if you respond in a mature manner, and if you own your mistake, and you repent of it, or you make it right, or whatever you have to do, you know, your authority is going to go up. It's not going to go down. Your respect is going to go up. I respect people who own their stuff. It doesn't matter what they've done wrong. When they own it, that's what's important. As Christians, we should desire a good name and loving favor so that we as God's children can bring glory to his name. See, Psalm 115:1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory. For his name's sake, we should want to show his character and glory as opposed to personal gain and making a name for ourselves. You know, there are hundreds of names of God scattered throughout the scripture. I couldn't believe that. When I started looking up names of God, I thought, oh, this list is endless. And we always just think of, he's Jehovah the Lord. He's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Ra, our shepherd. Jehovah Tzidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is near. And all these names of God help us to know his character more. His names can give us comfort and faith when we're going through hard times. But they give us insight into the many facets of who he is. God identified his name to Moses as, I am that I am. For he is everything we need in every area of life. One time Jesus asked his disciples who people said he was. The answer was various names. He then responded, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And I believe Jesus would say the same question, would ask the same question of us this morning. Who do we say that he is? It's important we know who he is. The more we understand something or someone, the greater our relationship is going to be. The greater relationship we're going to have. And I also believe that we need to turn to Jesus and say to him, Jesus, who do you say I am? And then listen to his commentary on our lives. And then give him permission to do some name changes in us if he needs to. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's close in prayer. Just let Joel know that I got you out before 10:15, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for your word that brings life to our hearts, Lord. We thank you for your word that teaches us how to live life, Lord. And God, help us to choose a good name and loving favor with God and man. Lord, that we can be able to be a witness to our neighbors, to our families, Lord. That God, that this would become a priority in our lives, Lord. That our children and our grandchildren, Lord, would be proud to wear our names, Lord. And Father, we just pray, God, that, Lord, that your word would speak to our hearts, Lord. And if we need a name change, Lord, God, if we need a character adjustment today, God, Father, we pray that you would speak truth to us, Lord, and that we would receive it, God, because we know it's for our good, Lord. And that, Father, that you're wanting to conform us into your likeness. From glory to glory, you're changing us, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you, Jesus, that has heard about your name, Jesus, but doesn't really know who you are, Lord. Father, I pray today, Lord God, that, Father, that they would receive you into their hearts, or they would ask you to come into their life and, Father, just make a change in their heart, that they would become a new person in you today, Jesus. And, Father, we just want to praise you and give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen.